everyone. Welcome or welcome back to the Fuel Church podcast. We are so excited that you are joining us today. We want to thank all of you that give generously to this ministry. It's because of your giving that this ministry is possible. To give, you can visit us at thefuelchurch.com. Be sure to check into Fuel Church on social media and let others know you are listening. Every check-in makes a difference as we partner with Causely each month to reach those in need. Once again, thanks for joining us. We hope this message inspires you to take your next steps in your faith journey. Enjoy!
Well, hey, we are in week number 3 of our series called Heart Check. Somebody say Heart Check. Has anybody like myself had the Holy Spirit checking your heart in this series? Come on now. Can I get a witness at all our campuses? I believe the Lord is speaking to us. Week number 1, we talked about the habit of slowing down. Week number 2, we talked about the habit of self-examination. And today we're going to jump into part 3. And I firmly believe that this message today has the potential to impact your life more than any other message in this series. I also believe it would be very easy to shake off this message and say, this really isn't for me. It's probably for her or him. It's probably for my neighbor because I'm doing real good in this area. So last week we learned that we tell lies. We tell lies. If you didn't get the message, make sure you check it out. And the person that we lie to the most is you. You lie to you, right? But I believe one of the biggest lies that we often tell ourselves is this, that more is better. That more is better. Like if you have one, it's better to have two. If you have two, it's better to have four. If you have five, it's better to have 10. And this is reflected with a lie in Genesis when the serpent came to Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember, God created Adam and he said, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. And all the men said,
amen.
It's not good for you to be alone. And so he created woman. And when Adam seen woman, he said, whoa, man. Because they were naked and unashamed. Whoa, man. It's the things I work on for you. They were loving paradise, enjoying it. And God said, you can eat from all these trees in the garden. They're all yours. Every one of them, except one. You are not to touch that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the serpent came along. Doesn't the devil always come along after God speaks? The serpent came along. Why do you think the devil comes along right when you get in the car after church? A fight breaks out on where y'all are going to eat. The word just was delivered and you're fighting over. Come on now. I almost said Ponderosa. Y'all don't even know. Church people, if you know what it was like back in the day after Sunday to go to Ponderosa, throw up your hand in the air like you just do care. Telling my age there. The serpent came along and said, did God really say that? Did God really say that? Because if you eat from that one, the one that he told you not to, you know what you're going to be like, Adam and Eve? You're going to be like God. You're going to be like God. And essentially, the message from the serpent back then is the same message we hear over and over, that what you don't have is what you need. What you don't currently possess is what you need in your life to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be successful, to be content. And every marketing message tells us this. We turn on the TV and they're trying to sell us a new product. Come on, somebody. You need this in your life. You gotta have this to be fulfilled, to be happy, to be successful, to be content, because we wrongly believe that more is always better. More is always better. But what do you need to be happy? What do you need to be happy? Is it more money? More influence? Is it more retirement? Is it more fun? Is it more toys? Is it more square footage? Is it more trips? Is it more clothes? Is it more likes? Is it more followers? The more, the pursuit of more has many of us in a trap. It's like we're on that hamster wheel pursuing more. But I want to propose to you this question. What if the stuff that you have is keeping you from the life that you want? What if the stuff that you have is keeping you from the life that you want? Today, I want to talk about the habit of simplifying. The habit of simplifying, and my title is this: when less is better. When less is better. My subtitle would be when less is more. When less is more. Our key thought comes from a story in the book of Acts, chapter 27, where Paul was on a ship and he was caught in the middle of a hurricane type storm, so much so that it had beaten down the boat. It was so bad, it lasted for 2 weeks. During that 2 weeks, the storm never ceased. They didn't have any time to even eat in that 2 weeks, and all of them thought they were going to die. Finally, after 2 weeks of this storm, there was a break, and they sat down to eat, and the story goes on in Acts chapter 27. Look at this. It says, then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. So when they had eaten enough, somebody say enough. When they had had enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. They were all encouraged and they finally got to eat after 2 weeks. How many think you'd be encouraged after not eating for 2 weeks? And they lightened the ship when they had enough and they threw out what they didn't need. Question, what is enough? What is enough? Well, it's when you have what you need. It's when you have what you need. To practice the habit of simplifying, I want us to say this together. Are you ready, church? At all our campuses, all our services, let's say this. Say, I have enough. Wow, that's freeing for some of you. I have enough. But the problem is we really don't believe that as Americans, because culture tells us the opposite. Culture tells us, no, strive, work until you climb that ladder, until you get that certain financial status, until you're in that neighborhood. You don't have enough. But the reality is, today, if you drove in your car to church today, you are part of the top 2% of the wealthiest people on planet Earth. If you own an automobile, you are part of the top 2% of the wealthiest people. If you have a house, you have multiple cars, you have heat and AC, come on now. If you have a little remote that opens your garage, you are a part of the top 9% of the wealthiest people in the world. Come on, somebody. We're going to look at a few prayers that I believe will help us with this habit of simplifying, because I believe it's something that we all deal with. Someone say, this message, come on now, say it with a little bit more faith. This message is probably for me. Yeah. And so here's some prayers that I've started to apply in my life have helped me with this habit of simplifying. And it's two prayers that we're going to break down. It's this: God, give me less of what doesn't matter. That's the first prayer. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. And God, give me more of what does matter. Amen. Can we say that together? Ready? Go. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. God, give me more of what does matter. What if you prayed this every single day? Now, I know it'd be counterculture to what we've been taught, and it would probably take some time to retrain our minds, right? And to say these prayers, but let's start out with, God, give me less of what doesn't matter. Jesus taught this principle in Matthew chapter 6 as he was teaching on money and possessions. By the way, there are over 2,000 scriptures on money and possessions. It was the number one podcast listen in Jesus's days. Oh, they didn't have podcasts back then. But if they did, it was the message on money and possessions that Jesus spoke about more. Actually, if you combine the messages of heaven and hell together, they wouldn't even come close to the 2,000 references of money and possessions. So I think Jesus was trying to tell us something. The Savior of the world, the one who died for our sins, is trying to get a point across that we do have enough. We do have enough. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 says, and these are the red letters in your Bible. Red means he said it, right? The red letters of Jesus. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in where? Heaven. Heaven. So we're going to have some heavenly treasures. Amen. You need to believe that because Jesus said it. I said, Jesus said it, that there are heavenly treasures. There are heavenly rewards we're going to get, actually. That's another message, because every one of us will be judged for what we did with the gifts inside of us. Did we use them to impact his kingdom, to reach lost people? There's going to be rewards. There's going to be spiritual trophies handed out. Come on now. Solid gold, I believe. Rubies and diamonds and all kinds of precious metals in them. If the streets are made with gold, we're walking on streets of gold. How many know those trophies are going to be pretty awesome? Store up in heaven where moss and rust cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever, watch this, your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. We talked last week, if you want to change your life, change your habits. But if you want to change your habits, we have to let God change our hearts. We have to let God do some heart surgery. We have to allow God to look down. David said, search me, O God, mine down into the layers of my heart and see if there is any wrongdoing in my heart. God, change my heart. Our series scripture is Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else. The wisest man, the wealthiest man to ever live, Solomon. This is his piece of advice. Guard your heart above all else, for out of it, out of what is it, your heart, flows the issues of life. Wow. That's powerful. So Jesus said, don't store up earthly treasures. Don't store up stuff that doesn't last. Don't accumulate. Don't hoard. Come on now. Anybody ever watch that hoarder show? That scares me. I get skeeved out. I'm sorry. For most of us, our goal is to accumulate. It's not to give away. Most of us, we want a bigger bank account. We want a bigger bank balance because most of us put our security in money and not in God all the time. For most of us, we want a new outfit. Why? Some of us feel empty inside, so we need outward validation. So we got to wear something new. For most of us, we want a bigger house. It's never enough square footage. It's not the right neighborhood. Why? Because we want status. We want to be noticed because maybe growing up, we didn't have a lot. I'm probably not talking to you, but it's maybe your neighbor. Maybe I'm just talking to me right now. And if we're not careful, these things can become what we try to find our identity in, when our identity should be found in Christ alone, not in stuff, not in things. What does it mean to want less of what doesn't matter? Well, if you want less of what doesn't matter, here's what the scripture says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us strip off every what? Weight that slows us down. We do this by what? Keeping our eyes on Jesus. On Jesus. Goes on to say, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us strip off everything and anything that's causing us to stumble. Let's strip off everything that doesn't matter. What's weighing you down? What is the stuff, the things that are weighing you down? What needs to be thrown overboard? It says they had enough, and when they had enough, they begin to throw the rest of the food overboard. What is it? Maybe most of us have closets that are overflowing. Praise God. We're really blessed, aren't we? We're really blessed. Most of us have garages that are overflowing with stuff. and we pack our closets, we pack our garages, and then we go rent a 10 by 10 space and put the rest of our stuff in it. And we pay $150 a month for a storage unit. We're blessed, right? But sometimes we have to strip off some things. We have to declutter. You're saying, Pastor, is this the spring cleaning message? Kind of. Kind of. But with a spiritual twist to it. What haven't you used in the last year? What pair of shoes haven't you wore that someone else could be blessed with? My wife and I have done this for 20 plus years. We go through our closet usually about two or three times a year. And we just look at things that we haven't wore. Some of it has tags on it. And we're like, okay, who can we bless this with? I was in my closet actually this week and the Lord told me to give some shoes away. And I had three pair of shoes in this bag and I was getting ready to walk out of my closet and a corner of my eye caught this pair of shoes, my probably third favorite pair of shoes in my closet. There's a lot of shoes in my closet. And they were a pair of my Jordans. And the Lord said, give those away to this man. And I said, get behind me, Satan. That's the first thing I said. That's the pizza I ate last night trying to talk to me. That ain't the Holy Spirit, and I heard it loud as give them away. And when I handed them to the person I gave them to, tears welled up in his eyes. And it was a blessing for me to give it away. Because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. What is it? Throw it out as if your life depends on it, because for some of you it does, because you are worshiping the idol of stuff. And God said, I will have no other gods before me. You said, can stuff be an idol? Absolutely. Your job can be an idol. Your possessions can be an idol. You said, well, doesn't God want me blessed? He absolutely wants you blessed. He wants you prosperous, but he also wants you to keep order in that. Because the word says, Paul said it, for the love of money is the root of all evil. God doesn't mind that you have money and stuff as long as money and stuff doesn't have you. Preaching real good in this Presbyterian church. What is it? If you get something new and you already have an old one, come on, give it away. Give it away. Learn to give things away. Come on now, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. For some of you, it's your schedule that's weighing you down. It's your schedule and you're too busy. You're too busy for God. You're too busy for his house. And God loves you so much to tell you today, he wants all of you, even your schedule. Well, I just don't think God's really concerned with my schedule. Yes, he is. He is concerned. And so some of you have scheduled out God out of your lives, and your family feels it. And your spouse feels it. And they're impacted by it. For some of you, it's stripping off social media. It's weighing you down. It's time to simplify. You're on 25 different social media sites and you can't even keep up with two of them. Right? For some of you, maybe Netflix, Hulu, whatever it is. But when Paul teaches on for the love of money, he's not saying money is evil. It's when you fall in love with it. If you love money and stuff, then you will serve it and never be satisfied. You will never have a fulfillment. Someone said, how much money do I need to be secure? Some people answer, more than I have now. Because it's never enough. This is an indicator. And what happens in the things that you possess, they start to possess you. They start to control you. You start to live for the almighty dollar, not the almighty God. You start to live to chase the bigger whatever, the bigger house, the bigger trip, the bigger car, whatever it is, the bigger status. And so you work your fingers to the bone, but it's never enough. And you buy, but it's never enough. And some of us, we do all this as a way of escape because we have deep-hearted issues that we've really never dealt with. Because money and stuff promises only what God can provide. I said money and stuff promises what only God can provide. And the only way to let go is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Question to ask yourself, are your eyes more on your stuff or are they more on Jesus? Because when your eyes are on Jesus, he'll bring you all the seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those things, that's easy for God to do. That's easy for God to do. But when we have the order of priority out of order and it's money and it's our career and it's stuff over God, that's when God says, no, that's an idol. And I'll have no other gods before me. This is what the scripture says in the good book. He doesn't want any idols. He wants to be first place. Number uno. Come on. God, give me less of what doesn't matter. Let's move on to the second prayer. God, give me more of what does matter. God, give me more of what does matter. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. And it says this, better is one handful with tranquility or peace. One of the commentaries I was reading, it said quietness. Some of you need some quietness in your soul because the pursuit of stuff and money has ravished your soul to the point it's chaos, it's loud. But listen to the wisdom of Solomon once again. Better is one handful with peace than two handfuls, trying hard, toiling, chasing, running, not around the family, watching the kids even grow up because we're just trying to chase a status, chasing the wind. Have you ever caught the wind? You never will. And this is some of you, you're trying to catch fulfillment. You're trying to catch success and you got two handfuls. But the scripture says better is one handful with room for stuff that matters. Better is one handful. Why? Because the other hand you can hug somebody with. The other hand you can love somebody with. The other hand you can give to somebody. The other hand you can serve somebody. The other hand you can surrender in worship. You can't surrender in worship with two handfuls. I'm preaching way better than you're shouting. I don't love jelly beans. But if you love them after the service, I got jelly beans for all y'all. I don't even want one of these, Brother Steve, let alone a whole handful. Okay? Just not my thing. Now you put chocolate in front of me, let's go. Better is one handful without the debt that's weighing you down. Better is one handful without the trying to keep up with the Joneses, whoever the Joneses are. If your last name is Joneses, do not get offended and leave the church. We love the Joneses. We love all the Joneses. It's just an expression. Better is one handful than you going to sleep and waking up in the middle of the night wondering, how am I going to pay all the bills? Because you just have an addiction to shopping and you want stuff and you want status and you think fulfillment is going to come. Better is one handful than pursuing things that don't last when your marriage is struggling. Better is one handful to be with your kids and not work 7 days a week because you are leading your kids in the direction of God. You can pour into them. Better is one handful than two with toil and chasing. To have more of what matters, we need to know what matters, right? We need to know what matters. So let's define what matters. I've read many articles. I've read it in books where people have been given 1 month to live because of a diagnosis, and they talk about how they change their entire outlook and perspective on life. Let me ask you a question, church. If you were told you have 1 month to live, 1 month to live, where would you spend your time, your energy? And I'll tell you where it is. You would spend it with those kids. You would spend it with your spouse. You would spend it with time with the Lord. You would make a spiritual impact. If you knew that in 1 month you were going to take your last breath here on planet Earth, you would spend it with people that matter. You would make a difference. You would be serving at another level within your church. Your walk with Jesus would be stronger. You'd be showing God's love. You would be declaring the goodness of God to everybody you came in contact with. Let me tell you what wouldn't matter if you had 1 month to live. The brand new 85-inch TV that just came out. Let me tell you what wouldn't matter. The brand new truck that you've had your eyes on for 5 years or whatever. It wouldn't matter. Let me tell you what wouldn't matter. The lawn. I said that kind of for me because my lawn's horrible right now and all my neighbors' lawns look good. If anybody knows how to do lawn work, come see your pastor. I'm struggling in that area. It wouldn't matter. If you had 1 month to live, it would not matter. Because the closer, listen, church, I feel this for our church today. The closer you are to Jesus, you realize that the most meaningful things in life are not things. They're not things. Tara and I have 3 kids, and looking back, they're all older teenagers. One's out of the house. One's going to be on her way to college in a few months. And looking back, and we're doing a lot of, you know, talking, and there's a lot of tears going on right now because our son got married, our second daughter's leaving, and you're just talking about life when they were little and looking at pictures. And, you know, looking back, it wasn't the big things that we thought really impacted them. It wasn't like the Disney trips, and those were great, but it was building forts in the living room with my son when he was little that he never forgets. Dad, remember when we tore all mom's blankets up and pillows? Yeah, I remember. She got mad and came down. What are you guys doing? I just did all that. I'm like, we're building a fort. It was the small things that made the big difference. It was the time of probably about 6 years ago, when I was spraying with the paint sprayer my deck, and Tara said, you know, go out and help your father with the deck. And he comes out, and I said, hold this gun, Isaiah, for a minute. Let me get this paint can. And he holds it, and he pulls the trigger and sprays his entire face with brown paint. And I may or may not said a word that I shouldn't have in that moment. And he may or may not have walked away and went inside and looked at his mom and laughed at me for getting upset with him for spraying himself in the face. It was Claire singing the wrong words to a worship song when she thought Almighty God meant all my teacups. I worship you, Almighty God. She thought it meant all my teacups worship God. It was those moments when Faith, my daughter, would write, and still does to this day, those heartfelt notes she would put on my desk and on my mirror. And it was the heartfelt conversations on the edge of the bed when one of your children are going through something hard in life and struggling in their mental health. And it's those moments when you hear your kids praying in their room. Those are the most meaningful things. Yes. Vacations are great, trips are great, but that's what they remember. They remember when mom and dad was there, when they were present, when they were available. As a pastor, the most meaningful things in life are not things, they're people, they're stories. And what keeps me fueled up, is what's happening in the lives of people. It's the people. It's the 40 plus baptisms last week. It's the 859 souls just since January. It's God moving and setting addicts free. It's the 2 young ladies last week at our 11:30 who showed up for the first time because their recovery home brings them to Fuel Church every week. They said, we want to go this week. And when they heard there was baptism Sunday, they said, we want to get baptized. It's the 1 lady out of the 2 that had only been sober for 2 weeks, and they jumped in the tank, and we were able to baptize them. It's our young people that are in a revival. that God is moving in the lives of our students, and this is what life is all about. I mean, I don't know of a greater fulfillment that when a person repents of their sins and they are forgiven, then they're able to forgive someone else. They're able to set themselves free by forgiving someone else. They're able to be healed from addictions. I'm talking about what's happening in the life of our church. They start using their gifts and their talents for the cause of Christ. This is what matters. Better is one handful with tranquility and peace than two with tension and turmoil. And always chasing something. Are you tired of chasing something when you should just be chasing Jesus? One handful. I want you to say it again. I have enough. And most of us really don't believe this. And I understand, because the statement isn't complete until you put this in front of it. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. I know what some are thinking. I hear you. I have Jesus, but I want more. Others say, I've fallen on some hard times. I'm hurting and things really are tight for me. And you find yourself saying, I have Jesus, but I still don't have enough. My encouragement from the word of God is found in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. It says this, Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things. So you can do this. You can simplify your life. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. Paul said, whether I'm well fed or whether I'm hungry, I still have enough. Whether I have plenty or not enough, I still have enough. In want, I still have Jesus. He is, let me remind you, church, still the bread of life. He still is the living water. He still is your counselor, your guide. And because of him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my constant. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. I have enough. Some say, I have Jesus, but I want more. Why? It's because Jesus is in the background of your life and he needs to be in front. But you have put him in the background. Everything else is more important than him, and he loves you so much today to tell you. He wants to be in the front, not in the back. And he's lost. He's been misplaced. He's been lost because he's misplaced among our busyness, and he's way back here. But when he's in the front of your life, every decision, every commitment, every friendship, where I spend my money and time, it all goes to him first. I run it by him. What is wise? What decision should I make? I seek him first. Because your life is too valuable and your calling is too great to waste your life on things that don't last. Your life is too valuable and your calling's too great to waste your life on things that don't last. For some of you, the most spiritual thing you can do today is throw some things out, is declutter your life, is give some things away, is rearrange your schedule, is bless somebody in need. Someone say, one handful with peace is better than two with tension and tranquility. Because I have Jesus, I have enough. Better is one handful than two with turmoil. One handful. That's enough. It's enough. One handful. What could God do with this? It's enough. And some of you need to see that today, because you're tired and you're out of breath because you're chasing the wind with two handfuls. When they had enough on the boat, what did they do? They threw the rest out. They got rid of it. Because when you have Jesus, you have enough. And when you get rid of it, now you got room. Now you got room for Jesus. Now you got space. Now he's a priority in your family. He's just not a scripture on the wall. He's not a Bible that's dusty on the coffee table. Now Jesus, kids, he's enough. No matter if we have a lot or a little, Jesus is enough. No matter if we can go to Florida or we have to stay local for a vacay, Jesus is enough. Come on. What'd they do? They made room for Jesus. They made room. Are you ready to make room today? Are you ready to make room today? Go back with me. Rewind for a moment as you close your eyes at all your campus, all the campuses today. Go back and rewind the moment you got saved. I want you to think about that. Think about when God found you. Brought you out of the mess, the miry clay, the scripture says. You were in the pit of your own sin. Think about how the hand of God rescued you. And think about the weeks, months, and maybe years after that. Because if you're like me, you say, Jacob, Jesus was enough back then. When I first encountered the grace of God, the healing power of God, when I knew he could break every chain of addiction, he was enough. He was enough. But then what I noticed, the longer I was serving Jesus, for me, it became Jesus plus my good works. Jesus plus my blessings. Jesus plus my good church attendance. Jesus plus my giving record. But I want to encourage you, church, today, with the habit of simplifying, that Jesus is enough. Because you have Jesus, he is enough. Go back to that moment when you first encountered the cross. Go back to that moment when your heart broke for the things that broke God's heart. When's the last time you stayed up crying for the things that break God's heart? Praying for a friend, a loved one, a family member who's hurting. Praying for a single mom who's going through something. Praying for people who are less fortunate. When's the last time? Because I'm here to tell you, Jesus is enough for the person who's experiencing loneliness right now. Jesus is enough for the person whose marriage is falling apart. Jesus is enough for the family who just lost a loved one. Jesus is enough for the person who the doctors have said there is no hope. Jesus is enough for the person battling addiction. Jesus is enough for the person battling with materialism. Jesus is enough. At all our campuses, I want us to keep our heads bowed for a moment.
Every eye closed. Maybe you're here in this place this morning and didn't understand even what you needed. Some of you came in here for something you didn't even understand what it was. You didn't know what you were feeling. Maybe you said, man, I need to come and talk to somebody. Or maybe I just need to come, but I don't know what I'm coming for. Well, I'm going to tell you, you came because Jesus is enough. You came because he said, when you lift him up, when we lift him up, that he draws all people unto himself. And even in the last worship song that we sang, it said, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. And that's a reality. So if you're here this morning and you have come to a realization, even through this message that Pastor Jacob just preached, that nothing else really matters and I want Jesus in my life. And maybe you're sitting here right now and you're like, man, I really want a relationship with Jesus because I've never really asked him to come in my heart. Or you're here and you say, I want to give my life back to Jesus. Maybe you've had a relationship with Jesus and you kind of walked away. It became a more like a plus relationship instead of the Jesus plus. It's just been stuff. We've all been there. But today is the day that you get to give your life back to Jesus. So if that's you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're not calling you out. I want to lead you in a prayer, but I want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you and you want to give your heart to Jesus today, or you want to give your life back to Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I just want to see who I'm praying for all over the building, all over the building. I see your hands. I see two hands. He raised both hands. That's awesome. When you know you need to give your life to Jesus, he gives you these opportunities, and don't ever take them for granted, because tomorrow is not promised to you. Thank you. You can put your hands down, because I want to do this one more time. If you already put your hand up, you don't need to do it again. But I'm going to make this call a second time, because the Lord wants you to leave here with peace. He wants you to leave here lighter than you came in. If you're watching online and maybe you've got something heavy happening in your heart, something's weighing you down and you're trying to take it all on, let me just tell you that Jesus is enough. Raise your hand in the chat. If you're here in this place one more time, if you didn't raise your hand before, go ahead and raise your hand now. We're going to lead you in a prayer here in just a moment. I see your hands. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands. Hallelujah. Online and in the building, let's pray this together, all of us together. Let's just pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for being enough for me. I believe that you are enough. So I give you my heart and I give you my life. Today, I belong to you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Come on, somebody give God some praise for that.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with others. If you ever have the opportunity, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend gatherings. For more information on locations and service times, please visit us at thefuelchurch.com. We hope this message inspired you to take your next step in your faith journey. See you next week.